Good morning, everyone. Certainly good to be here. Good to see everyone else that's out. We have visitors. We're glad you came to be with us. Come back any and every time you can. When we were getting close to the building this morning, Carol asked me if I had the carnations with me, and I knew what she meant. A lot of churches this morning will be handing out carnations or corsages to the mothers, and I told her no, but I do have a Mother's Day sermon. So things like that, a lot of places will be handing out flowers, having chicken dinners or whatever. That's good to do that as a family. That's a function of the home, but not a function of the church. A lot of people don't understand that Christ didn't go and die on the cross for that kind of thing. That's perfectly fine in the home, but that is not what the church is about. The church is a spiritual organization. But God's word has a lot to say about mothers. So I want us to look at a few things that God's word has to say this morning. And the text that Ron read, 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. The influence of a mother, of a grandmother, is very strong. And if I understood Kenny right, one of the reasons that you said you wanted to look at the church was because of that memory you had of your grandmother going to church. We have strong memories of that, and that faith that we get from them should be handed down from one generation to another. When we think about motherhood, that is a God-given role that is exclusive to women. A man can't be a mother. The mother is the mother. The woman is. Some women look at having children as a problem or an inconvenience. They look at children as unwanted, or they want to have them aborted, or they have a child and then there's child neglect involved. But God's word teaches that children are a blessing from God. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. So children are a blessing, and motherhood is honorable, and it's vital for a home to succeed and thrive. And motherhood is not something that we are born with. It's not an instinct. It's something that must be learned. Being a good mother must be learned. Titus 2:3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. You see, a woman, when she is born and when she has a child herself, it's just not automatic that she is going to love that child. And you think, well, sure it is. But then just think of all the women, and especially in the society that we live today, that don't even want that child to be born. They want to murder that child before it even has a chance. Some of them might have that child and then they neglect that child. They abuse that child. Why is that? Because in the home, in the school, in the country, we have stopped teaching the respect for life. But again, that comes back as a home responsibility. So first, I want us to look at some advice on motherhood. And this is not my advice. My advice is no good. One person's opinion is as good as another, but this is going to be some advice from God's word. And if you would turn back to Genesis chapter 25, and we'll start in verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Notice that. The father, Isaac, loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. This, what happened because of this? This led to deception, to hatred, to bitterness. There is heartache. Each child is special and unique, and we should be thankful to God for each child that God gives us and bless that child with life and devotion and knowledge of God's word. But if you have more than one child and you show favoritism, it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause problems. Another bit of advice, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, and here we learn the importance of setting a godly example for your children. And when we read this, on one hand, it's really sad the conditions that the people had become. It is really sad. On the other hand, in a way, it sounds funny because it sounds like something you might hear some high school kids telling each other. Ezekiel 16:44. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you. Like mother, like daughter. You are your mother's daughter, loathing husband and children, and you are the sister of your sisters who loathe their husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Here, again, this has become a proverb because of the way that the women had been acting. Like mother, like daughter. The example that is set is going to be the example that children will often follow. What kind of example should mothers be setting? Examples of godliness, purity, modesty, respect for men, respect for women. Teach your child what kind of man to expect for a good mate, for a husband. Like mother, like daughter. We don't use that proverb today, but we often hear like father, like son. But the principle is we need to set a godly example for our children. We need to be thankful for our children. Women, mothers should thank God, thank their husband, thank their children. They're a great blessing, and children have eternal implications. If you turn to Judges 13 and 8, and you might think, some people might think, well, you know, you just have your children for a few years, maybe 16, 18, 20 years, something like that. But consider Judges 13:8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what shall we do for the child who will be born. What shall we do for the child who will be born? And this is in reference to Samuel. And when we raise a child, we don't have them for just a few years. We have an impact on their soul's eternal destination. Teach us, what shall we do for the child who will be born? Do we stop and think about that when a child is going to be born? God, how would you have us to raise this child? Again, loving, a mother's love is something that is learned by instruction and admonition. Titus 2:4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. The value of a mother's love cannot be measured in money. You just can't put a price tag on it. But it's measured in moral character, in wisdom and training that she gives her children. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. And when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is right. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress." He says, do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. My mother, she started getting ill when I was about 18 or 20. And the last several years of her life, she was going through a lot of things. Her life just wasn't normal the last several years. So my best memories of my mother were up till I was like about 18 or 20 years old. And she died when I was later in my 20s. But those things that she taught me, that she said to me, have stuck with me all my life. Those sayings, I can just hear her saying them to me now. Do this, don't do that, watch out for that. And that is part of the role of a mother, is to do that. And a mother protects her children. That's some advice that older women need to give younger women. You think about Jochebed, Moses' mother. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. She literally gave up Moses for a time so that he could be saved. A godly mother is going to protect her children from hunger with food. She's going to have what that child needs. She's going to protect that child from ignorance because she's going to give him the truth. She's going to protect him from selfishness because she is going to give him love. And she's going to protect him from unbelief because she is going to give him or her an obedient faith. We are familiar, I think most of us, with Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. I'll read just a little bit of that, beginning at verse 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Friends, what do most women look for in society today? Too many women look for a big position, a big job, lots of money. They look for the same thing a lot of men look for, and they neglect some of the most important things that God has given us, our children. And all of us of any age that have children know how fast they grow up and they're gone. Our daughter and Lee and her husband Tyler were at her house yesterday with their daughter Adelaide. And it was just like yesterday, Adelaide, Lee was that size. The time goes. It goes too fast. And we have our children for just a short time. Do we have to be busy taking care of other things? We do. We do, that's part of life, but we cannot ignore the children. This isn't some advice that I'm giving you. This is advice that God is giving you. Because children have eternal consequences. They have a soul that's going to live on forever. We don't want anybody's soul to be in punishment forever. And what is this godly woman? What is her glory going to be? Is it going to be the job that she has? How many people she's over? Is it going to be the position, the kind of car she drives, the kind of clothes she wears? No, it's going to be her family. Her family is going to be her glory. With her husband and her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. They aren't afraid of things because the mother has done those things to protect her family. A mother will teach her children God's word and protect them from sin. You think about all those physical things that we need to be protected from. The weather, you know, you've got the clothes to protect. They aren't going to worry about winter. But a bigger thing to protect them from is sin. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So a mother is going to protect her children. Well, there are some blessings that mothers can give their children. Life and safety, like we mentioned with Moses and his mother. A mother will protect life. A mother will sustain life. And a mother will protect and sustain the spiritual life of a child. I think part of the nature of a woman, when we were talking in class this morning about how we speak, I knew it was easier for me to take things when I was little and growing up from my mother than from my father. My father loved me, but he was a stern man. If he was going to tell me, if I was going to get in trouble, I'd rather get in trouble from my mother than my father. But a mother is going to protect and sustain not just from physical harm, but from spiritual harm. We see the blessing of devotion to God with Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 11. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So, looking over the audience, most of the women here have had children. If one of you younger women have not have children, what are you going to pray to God for your child to be? Are you going to pray to God, give me a healthy child? Are you going to pray to God, give me a boy? Are you going to pray to God, give me a girl? Or are you going to pray to God, give me a child that will be devoted to you, Lord? Give me a child that will be devoted to you, that will want to walk in your ways and serve you. That is what Hannah did. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. See, that not only obligated the child, but it obligated the parent. It obligated the mother. So our relationship with our child doesn't end when that child walks out the door. We still have a responsibility. 1 Samuel 1:24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood before you praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that an interesting way of looking at it? God, our children come from God. God gives us our children. And then Hannah says that I will devote him to you. I'll lend him back to you, Lord. You lend him to me, I'll lend him back to you to serve you as long as he lives. We see the blessings of teaching God's word with Eunice and Lois in 2 Timothy 1:5. Again, I call it to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Why did Timothy have a genuine faith? Why was his faith real? It was because of his mother and his grandmother. We need to teach our children to have faith in God. What are some of the challenges of motherhood? Well, time is a big challenge. We have to use it wisely. And again, when we talked about in Colossians this morning, redeeming the time, there are so many things that compete for our time. We have to prioritize things. We have to make time to talk to your children, listen to our children, nurture them, play with them, teach with them in all areas of life, in all areas of life, so that they grow up rounded. And it is a challenge. Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you talk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." But you know what? If God is not a priority in your life, it's not going to be a priority in your child's life. But if it is a priority in your life, then you'll make time to teach your child that it's a priority in their life. Patience. The challenge of patience. Children can be challenging and trying our patience. How do we handle that? We have to develop self-control. You know, thinking about the time challenge, I've heard it said, you're going to spend time with your children. It's just unavoidable. And if you don't spend time with your children when they are young, you're going to end up spending time with your children when they are older, sometimes because of the problems that they get into. Sometimes because of the problems they get into, and then you're going to have to spend time with them. How and when and where do we want to spend our time? A bit of advice, spend it with them when they are young and raise them up. And then the time we spend with them when they are older will be more rewarding. The challenge of multitasking, managing a household. I don't like that phrase, multitasking. That came out when I was growing up. You didn't hear that word. It's just everybody worked. You just worked. And then multitasking, companies want you to do this and that, and we want you to do this while you're doing this and do that also. When you read in the Bible, it talks about being single-minded, where you focus on something. If you are doing too many things at one time, you have a divided mind, and your attention, your focus is split up between different things. But we live in a world that there is a lot of multitasking, and one of the ways to deal with that is just look at the list of everything that we do and then pick out so many. Should we really even be doing this, or is it just a waste of our time? Because there are so many things that people do, they don't improve your life, It may be entertainment or recreational or something. We justify it in our mind. Oh, I need to do this. You see these commercials and signs. You deserve it. You deserve a break today. You're special. You know, it's like everybody's got special written across their head. A lot of that stuff we just don't need. And it's a distraction from what we should be doing. You know, mothers, you can't say enough about mothers. You just can't. And the Bible says so much. And you can tell when a mother has followed God's word and the relationship that she has with her children and the relationship that her children has with her. And I've mentioned different times, you know, about the mothers that I have had. Because my mother, in my life, she has been gone as long as I had her. So after she died, you know, other sisters in the church adopted me. Oh, you're my son. You know, I was over here at the building the other day, and when I was getting ready to leave, I thought about going to Brookville to the nursing home to visit Carol's mom, and I had a lot of other things going on in the afternoon, and I called one of my moms. I was sitting in my truck, and I called her, and we started talking, and she couldn't love me more if I were her flesh and blood. And that is something that is so amazing about being in Christ, the family that we have. And she asked me about my knee and my leg and the problems. And she's like, oh, honey, I've been praying for you every day. And I know that. Carol knows that. She prays for us like we are her children. And again, you have that godly love, that relationship that we can enjoy only in the Lord. And I say that too because somebody might say, well, my mother wasn't a good mother. My mother left or my mother did this. But friends, if we're in Christ, God will bless us with so many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. We are so richly blessed. We lack for nothing. And then to have God as our Father that provides for us every day. He gives us every breath of air that we take, every drink of water. He carries us in our arms when we have problems. He loves us. If you did not pick up a bulletin, please pick up one before you leave. There are two articles in there, and I want to read the one of them. The Beatitudes for Mothers. Blessed are the mothers who love God, for their children shall not be ignorant of their Creator and His plans concerning them. Blessed are the mothers who love the Word of God, for their children shall know the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed are the mothers who love the house of God, for their children shall enter there and sit with them in the presence of God. Blessed are the mothers who love to pray, for their children shall feel the power of prayer, and many shall find salvation. Blessed are the mothers who love to give to the cause of Christ, for their children shall become supporters of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the mothers who love the family altar, for they shall have their reward in this world and in the world to come. Blessed are the mothers who love to speak kind words to their neighbor's children, for thereby they shall win other boys and girls beside their own to Jesus Christ. Blessed are the mothers who love to be companions to their children, for they shall be called understanding mothers. Blessed are the mothers who love to fight life's battles bravely with a strong and steadfast faith in God, for their children shall know where to find strength in time of need. And blessed are the mothers who when they are old and gray, can look back upon memory's wall with no regret and say, I brought up my children in the fear of the Lord. Theirs are the mansions in glory. Friends, what have we prepared our children for? Friends, do not rob your mother of the honor she is due. Do not rob her of the honor of the things that she has done for you, the time she has spent raising you and teaching you and bringing you up. Do not rob her of the honor of protecting you, of praying for you, and preparing you for life, for every day. We owe our mothers a great debt of honor, respect, and love. And if you want to honor your mother, be true to the Almighty God. Be true to the Almighty God, and you will honor your mother. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. The calling of motherhood is honorable and demanding. Keep faith in God for your strength, guidance, and comfort, and share your faith with your children. And children of all ages, accept your mother's preparations and thank her for all that she has done for you. And honor your mother. Friends, God has given us mothers to raise us that we might follow Him. And that's what it's all about, is following God so that we can live with God. And just like talking about our children, how fast they grow up and they're gone, and every one of us here, we're going to look back. You just stop right now and look back on your life. How long has it been? It's been just like that. That's how fast it's been. You do it again and our life is going to be gone. Friends, don't put off obeying God. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.